into the D1 variance. What type of variance does that mean?
It is a D1 variance for a non-inherently beneficial use. We are here asking for permission to have five townhomes in a zone that doesn't allow that type of use. So as such, we have a burden of proof to demonstrate to you that there's something that's particularly suitable about this property that the townhomes would be appropriate here. As a D1, for a non-inherently beneficial use, we also have a burden of proof to demonstrate to you that special reasons or the positive criteria exist for you to grant that variance. And then we would also have to advance special reasons for the two bulk, or I'm sorry, the positive criteria for the 2C or bulk variances. And all variances, whether they're C or D, have a burden of proof for the negative criteria.
And is that under case law in the state of New Jersey?
Yes, of course. That's under the municipal land use law. It's certainly not unique here to the Borough of Highlands. That burden of proof is associated with anybody who's seeking a variance before any planning or zoning board in the state.
Can we deal first with the site suitability issue?
Yes, the particular suitability. We can. When I had an opportunity to visit this property, I have a small aerial. I didn't make a large one because I think it just gets too hard to see, but I did make a couple copies for the board members, and I have here
It'll be A8. And is it one page?
Yep.
One page.
Yes.
Okay. And this is an aerial 8.5 by 11.
It's a little 8.5 by 11 by aerial. And I think this is a great exhibit to show the particular suitability. Should we mark it?
A8.
A8's been marked.
Okay. I can't walk and chew gum. I didn't get that. Okay, A8. A8 is a great exhibit for the particular suitability because it shows the subject property in a yellow box. But when it shows the two red boxes along Miller Street to our south, which is going towards State Route 36, or the more bottom part of the exhibit, that is the Horizon at Highlands project. That's a 10-unit multifamily project. Then when you go further north on Miller Street, you see that there's the firehouse at the corner of Shore and Miller. And then beyond that, in the other red box, is 65 Miller Street, which is an apartment complex. So what we did was we looked at those properties and the size of those properties and the number of units. And we'll start with Horizon at Highlands, which is the one that's on the corner of 36 and Miller. That project has 10 units in it, and we couldn't get an exact read on the tax records off of the tax maps to get the size of that property, but it's about 3/4 of an acre. So if you looked at that, then the density would be about 13.33 units to the acre. So to give you some perspective, 8.7 is allowed in our zone, and 11.6 units to the acre is what we're proposing. When you go down to the property that's further to the north on Miller Street, the apartments, 65 Miller Street, that has 6 units, and we were able to get a pretty fair reading of the size of that property, and that property is about 12,800 square feet. So when you calculate the density of that, that one comes down to about 20.42 units to the acre. So I think that what this exhibit shows is that we certainly fit into the fabric of this area and the existing established character of the area along Miller Street, and the project will certainly fit in out there. The fact that it's a corner lot, I think, also renders it suitable for the type of use. And I think the other thing that renders it suitable is that it's a multifamily project or a multifamily product, and it is walkable to both your downtown core on Bay Avenue and also to State Highway 36 to take advantage of any mass transit opportunities or bus routes that would be out there. So I think it's certainly particularly suitable for the proposed five-townhome project.
Did you analyze this project in terms of special reasons required by the Medici case?
I did. And special reasons, again, as I said before, they take their meaning from the purposes of the land use law. They're certainly not unique here to Highlands. There's 15 of them identified by letter and not number in the municipal land use law. And I think that there are a couple of them that are advanced by this application. Criteria D talks about providing sufficient space in appropriate locations for a variety of uses. I think that that criteria is certainly advanced. Criteria C talks about providing adequate light, air, and open space. We will certainly comply with the lion's share of the bulk requirements for this property. Where we are non-compliant, it's certainly de minimis. And as Mr. Sermont said when he was testifying as to the coverage, we're actually going to have less coverage on the property if the site is approved, the proposed development program that then exists out there today. So I think we're definitely going to have adequate light, air, and open space. Criteria I is a desirable visual environment, and I think that that is also going to be advanced by this application. It really is a nice-looking project. It has a nice curb appeal to it, certainly far greater than what exists out there today in the dilapidated old structure, so I think that I will certainly be advanced.
So is it fair to say that it's your opinion that the project meets the positive criteria requirement?
Yes, it does. It is my opinion, and I do believe that special reasons exist for the grant of the variance.
Now, in the negative criteria, does the project impair the zone plan, master plan, and zoning ordinances?
No, and when you're evaluating the negative criteria, the wording in the land use law, and again, this is not my wording and not unique here to Highlands, the wording in the land use law talks about a substantial detriment. There would have to be substantial detriment that's not outweighed by the benefits of the development of the site. And in my opinion, in order to substantiate our burden of proof with respect to the negative criteria, you have to be satisfied that we wouldn't have a negative impact on the zone plan and we wouldn't have a negative impact on the public good. Well, I think clearly A8 shows in evidence that we're not going to have a negative impact on the character of this area. This is going to fit in really well with what's out there. And as far as the impact on the zone plan, I don't see a negative impact on the zone plan, and I think that this also goes to our proof for the density variance. Because when you have a density variance, the proofs that you have to show that the site can handle the excess density. So one of the things that we do when we look at density cases is we look at, well, what could you get on the site with the underlying zoning? And I think Chet testified, and I agree with his assessment, that you could get 3 lots conforming on this. And if you put up 3 single-family homes on this property, population and school-age children-wise, you're going to come in right about the same that you would with the 5 townhomes. Now, how did I know that? Did I just make this up and eyeball it? No. What I did was I looked at the Center for Urban Policy Research multipliers, because those are the industry standard prevailing multipliers that if somebody was doing a fiscal impact, that's what they would look at. They're well accepted by the state, well accepted in the state of New Jersey, that when you're looking at demographics, that's where you go, that's the source that you go to, and they were prepared by Rutgers a couple of years ago, that in 2006. Who lives in New Jersey housing? You may be familiar with that, or you hear people talk about them as the CUPR multipliers. In that study, Who Lives in New Jersey Housing, the 2006 study, that study found that detached homes with 4 or 5 bedrooms have the largest impact on municipalities. And when we looked at the multipliers for school-age children, for a single-family home, you would use 1.077. For a townhouse, you would use 0.438. And the reason they're so much lower is because families with school-age children overwhelmingly prefer to live in detached single-family homes. So when you look at those numbers, you would get 3 school-age children associated with a conforming 3-lot subdivision and 2 from the proposed project. On the population impact, it's roughly about the same. The single-family detached and the single-family attached come in at about 13 units. So there's really not a substantial difference there when you're at from an impact point of view. So to say that the townhomes would have a much more negative impact or really intensify the use of the site, I think that was also supported by Chet's testimony, because what the engineers usually do, and we all work in tandem to look at these things together, is they look at the trips and they say, well, how many more trips are coming from a conforming use? And in this case, now you have the testimony in the record that not only are you going to have no different from a population impact or school-age children, but you're not going to have an impact like that from the trip generation either. So I think when you look at that, you can certainly conclude that this is not going to have a very substantial negative impact on the borough zone plan if you allow the townhomes here as opposed to a use that would be permitted in the zone.
I know you've touched on the density issues, but I'd like you to start from scratch on that.
Sure. The D5 density variance we're here for because we are proposing a density of 8.7 units to the acre, where 11.6 is proposed. And the standard of proof for a D5 density variance is a little bit different. It's a lot different, actually, than a D1 use variance. When you have a D1 use variance, you have the particular suitability and all the other issues. There's a case called Grubbs, and what Grubbs held was that when you're looking at a density variance, what the board really should be guided by is, can the site handle the excess density? And so when you're thinking, can the site handle the excess density, the things as a planner you look at are the traffic, the stormwater management, and the ability of the site to not substantially blow out the bulk variances and have a structure that dominates the site in a way that the zone really didn't allow. And I think in this instance, you have less lot coverage, population impacts, and trip generation impacts that are really consistent with what would be allowed for a by right use, and you have less impervious coverage. So I don't see a problem at all with the density variance. I think the site will certainly handle the excess density quite well, and I see absolutely no problem to the granting of that variance.
And even though I think you've already testified that there is site suitability, that's not really necessary on a density variance, is it?
No, it's not. Not on a D5.
Okay.
I should probably say for the record whether I believe that the bulk variances, the setback of 19.7 feet and the coverage are either C1 or C2, because a C1 would be a hardship. I don't really see a hardship here as to why you could not comply with either one of those. But in the absence of any hardship, if you find that some purposes of land use law, and I talked about those before, were advanced, you can grant a C2 or flexible C variance. If you think that the development program that is being proposed is a better zoning alternative for the property and fits in well with the character of the area. So in my opinion, I think you certainly could conclude that this is appropriate, that those two variances could be appropriately granted as C2 variances, and they certainly do represent a better zoning alternative and will allow for development of the site consistent with what is already out there has been presented to you by A8 in evidence.
That would be an improvement over smaller conforming townhouses.
Yes, I think it fits well, and it sort of connects the pattern between Horizons and the Miller Street apartments.
And they're basically diminished anyway. Is that your feeling on the bulk variances?
I don't think if you asked me to go out on the street and tell you if the building was set back 20 feet or 19.7, I could do it. So,
do you have anything further you would like to add, ma'am?
Just the last thing that we looked at the master plan. In 2009, you re-examined your master plan. And there were a couple of goals and objectives that were in that master plan that I thought that was promoted by this. On page 7, there was a goal that talked about encouraging neighborhoods to improve their aesthetic appeal and identity. I think this does that. And then there was also another goal that said require that infill development can be compatible with neighborhood and conform to the existing buildings on the block. And I think that this does that too. So while not specifically consistent or permitted in the zoning ordinance, I think it's also an opportunity to implement some of the goals and objectives that the master plan identifies for some of your residential neighborhoods.
Does the board have any questions?
I have a few. You indicated the quarter lot renders this as a suitable use. Would you expand on that?
For a townhouse project, I think it's just a larger property than, it's an 18,000 square foot property that has two frontages on it. So I think that gives you the ability to provide the adequate off-street parking that you need for the townhouse development. So I think that makes it appropriate for this type of use for the 5 townhomes that we're proposing.
And I think I might have misunderstood something. On the talking about the school age,
mm-hmm.
I made a note that 3 houses, which would be the density allowed under the ordinance, you'd have 3 school age, and
right.
With the 5 townhouses, you'd have 2?
No, you got it right.
So you'd have 2 children out of 5 units?
Yes.
Okay.
And you understood it absolutely correctly. Okay. And then I went into that, and I said, and I actually gave you the multipliers from CFPR.
I got that. I just didn't.
It's 1.077 for a single family home.
Okay.
It's 0.438 for a townhome.
Right.
So the multipliers are much less for a townhome because they typically have far fewer school-age children. So, which is why I said this, is that the multipliers predict that you'd have one less school-age children with our non-conforming project than you would with a by-right project. Which makes sense because families with school-age children would live in single-family homes.
That makes sense. I just thought 15 bedrooms with two kids seemed not much. That struck me. It's odd. Does it strike you as odd?
No, it doesn't. Not for a townhouse project because I think the multipliers of 0.438 units reflect that not all those townhomes would be occupied by families with school-age children. There's far other demographic profiles that would occupy those type of townhomes. Older couples, young married couples, divorced singles that wouldn't have as many school-age children.
And what is the, in your opinion, the viability of constructing this project in accordance with the zone requirements and do three houses? What's the likelihood of putting three houses in that property?
Well, I certainly didn't do a market study. That's not really in my area of expertise. But I think if you look at the fact that you've got a firehouse substation on one corner and then the Horizon at Highlands, another multifamily project, and then another multifamily project removed one lot from the firehouse substation, I think that those factors would certainly speak to the desirability of this site for the conforming, and therefore making it less desirable, making it less likely that it would be developed in accordance with the zone plan.
Anyone else have questions? Anyone from the audience have questions?
Can I make a comment?
Not yet.
Okay.
I'll frame it as a question.
It's on the Manchester Tudor Street. When you go down Shore Drive from these properties, heading south or east, what are the, shows one building, two buildings, three buildings. What are those three buildings?
They're single family homes, as far as I could see from my observation.
Okay, the answer is wrong.
No.
It's a single and three two families.
Where are you talking? Right next to our property?
Yeah, there's a parking lot, a single family, and I just want to make note that the other three are two families.
Oh, okay.
Which one's two big?
It's right under the subject property.
I don't know. They look like single family homes. I was out there today. I don't know. They look like single family homes to me. I apologize. I stand corrected.
I'm a little red blocking that.
Yeah.
Can you make yours look like a single family home? Just kidding. Okay. Anyone else from the public?
I know I'm not in the public or
with you.
On the board, but I am president of the Horizon of Highlands Association. So am I allowed to comment?
You're going to poison the record, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I am. Okay, never mind.
Regardless of what you're going to say.
Not really.
Either way. I don't mean you're poisoning the sense of it, but if anybody ever appealed it, we'd be starting over.
This happened to me several times. I couldn't say anything either.
Okay.
So, sorry.
I'll just tell them it.
Okay.
We're done. Yeah, we're finished.
Any comments?
Well, I mean, we're done with the witnesses, but now we're ready for comments.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, this would have been your opportunity, but I guess you...
Well, my comment is, it's not out of character.
Wait, we have to swear you in, Mr. Urbanski.
Oh, John Urbanski.
You want to stand up, please? Raise your right hand. Swear the truth. Swear the testimony you give before this hearing be the truth, all truth, nothing but the truth. Yes?
He's thinking about it.
I assume he said yes.
The truth of God is a project of single-family townhomes, single home ownership, a single-family house, and three duplexes there. And on the other side of the firehouse is an apartment complex. I mean, it's way better than what you're going to have. Mm-hmm. It's a good project. I think you guys should really consider it.
I think a good deal of Shore Drive on the hillside are that kind of residential units. So, anyone else for comments? All right, seeing none. Motion to close the hearing?
So,
Thank you, Art. Anyone a second?
I'll second.
Mr. Kutosh got it first. All right, roll call.
You all in favor?
All in favor? So
aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Okay. Public motion closed. Okay, any...
One question, Mr. Wolf.
Hmm?
Do you want the board to proceed to a vote tonight?
Straw poll first?
It doesn't work that way.
Yes.
Yes?
Okay. Any deliberation with the board?
Good try.
Yeah. You want to... I mean, we're about to vote, so you can talk about what you like or what you didn't like. Or we can just vote.
I think it fits well with the area. Yes. Multi-families, and there's a couple projects right next to it. I think it's messing there now. Big improvement to what's already there.
The only thing I'm worried about is, since it's on the hill, they're going to have to provide some kind of area for water that's going to run down the hill so it doesn't ruin that townhouses.
Why did you bring that up when they were talking about
it?
That's the only thing I'm worried about, that's all.
So if the board would like, I could comment to that.
Okay, please.
So the rear yard is graded in such a way that there are swales running in both the east and westerly directions. The water is directed around the townhouses towards Shore Drive.
Okay, so it'll go around the building and...
Correct, and towards Shore Drive and lawn areas, and then eventually end up with the drainage system.
Okay. And there was testimony that there's... there's going to be less runoff from the building.
Yeah, I was just worried about the hill coming down. Yeah. That's all.
Okay.
And they've done that before.
Yeah, we are too, so we'll address it.
Any more comments or questions or deliberation? Okay. We're looking for a motion to accept or deny.
I move to accept. Approve the application as presented it with the conditions that we've discussed.
Seconded by Mr. Brighton?
Yep.
Yes.
Let me just make sure
something. Yeah. Sure.
All these different things, the answer in response to Mr. Cage that I'll put in the resolution.
Right.
I'll put the demo plan will be subject to the approval of the borough engineer, who happens to be the board
engineer. What is your concern?
I just wanted to know what was being removed, what was being left on the property. There's a number of structures that are shown on the plans as part of the water plan, and I just want to know what was being removed. The applicant testified that it's all being removed, which is what I would like to see, so we don't have to deal with any of the existing structures.
We'd have to do it anyway. We're
going to submit a detailed demolition plan, just in accordance with what Mr. Katie asked for.
Okay.
And on the drainage, I'm not clear on this, man. They're going to have to do a plan in order to get a permit, so, right?
They're going to identify the root drainage we're talking about here. They're going to identify the root drainage, the size of the pipes, and where they're going to be connected. So it's just really.
But that'll all be on the revised plan.
Correct.
Okay.
As well as that, they're going to provide drainage.
Okay.
So
I'm okay.
You're good?
Yep.
All right. Roll call.
Mr. Brighton?
Yes.
Mr. Kutosh?
Yes.
Mr. Gallagher?
Yes.
Mr. Connolly?
Yes.
Mr. Braswell?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm still interested in photographing inside the building.
Oh, okay.
Of course. That'd be terrific if I could.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Great.